Learn how to build your faith on God's Word and live a life of 100% victory 100% of the time as you listen to the Senior Pastor, Davis Christian Center, Pastor Kingsley Okunkwo, and expect God's Word to work for you.
Something out of your life. Making something, or you have to personalize it, making something out of my life. Praise God. Help me tap your neighbor. Tell him, make something out of your life. Making something out of your life. This is important because we live in a country where it is easy to make an excuse and say the reason why we are where we are, the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing, the reason why I'm failing, the reason why I'm struggling is because I'm in Nigeria. It's easy to blame your own personal failures on the national failure. But this morning, I want to tell you that even though Nigeria is still a work in progress, we are still growing, we are still trying to become what we should be, while we are at it, you ought to make something out of your life. What makes a great nation is a great people. Are you here? When they say Nigeria is not a developed nation, what they mean is individuals. All of us are involved. So what makes a great nation is the people. It's not the physical geography, it's the human geography. It's the people. So as much as we want Nigeria as a whole to improve, we want the government to improve, but let's talk about you today. Make something out of your life. Can you tap your neighbor again and say, make something out of your life? Turn to the other person on the other side, say, make something out of your life. You owe yourself that. You owe your children that. You owe the community that. You owe this country that. If all of us at our different corners are making something out of our lives, then Nigeria becomes great. Hallelujah. So this morning, I'm going to look at something. All great people, all the people we admire, all the stars, all the rich and famous people have something in common. And we're going to look at it today. They have something in common. There are three aspects of your life you need to find out. One or more of them, but everybody must have one of these three things to fulfill what they are called to do. Let's look at Romans chapter 11, verse 29. Romans 11, 29. Romans 11, 29. How many of you were in the business meeting yesterday? Great meeting, great meeting. All the guys that came are Christians, and they are phenomenal. They are all phenomenal at what they do, and they are rich. I like to always put that, not because I like money, but I know how people think. In Nigeria, people do not respect what you do until you are rich. People are materialistic here. Praise the Lord. And it's not only here. Even in America, they have what they call the American dream. Praise God. So it gives people an idea, an image that you can become something great. And it's not bad. We need to have the Nigerian dream. All the guys that came here are young people. They are yesterday, they are all young guys. All of them drive Range Rover. Coincidentally, it wasn't planned. But it just occurred to me that is the Nigeria. As I saw all their cars parked, Range Rover. One of them didn't bring his own Range Rover, but the other ones, I said, this is the Nigerian dream. This is what every young person wants to be. In fact, this is why people enter 419. You know, they want the prosperity, you understand? And they don't want to go the right route. They want to pass through the corner. So that's why we bring people like this that are doing legitimate business, that are Nigerians in this same environment that are making it, to show the youths that this is the Nigerian dream and that anybody can become what they want to become if they are ready to apply themselves to the principles. Hallelujah. So I want to challenge you today. Make something out of your life. One of the guys that spoke there, his name is David Wedge. We went to secondary school together. We're secondary school mates. He owns his own house in Lekki Phase 1. Not rented, own. He has, his company is big. Big industry. And that is the Nigerian dream. What is the Nigerian dream? Americans are not more gifted than us. Only that they apply themselves to certain things. And we need to encourage every youth here, every young person here, because as we are here, you are still young. As long as you can come to this kind of church, you are young. Do you understand? No matter your age, you are young at heart. Just keep shaving well. So that your neighbor will not be threatened. But you are young, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a good church to come. You won't know when you're getting old, because all of us still behave like we are young. Did you see the drama? You know, this is sometimes they don't act drama again. This church, even at old age, we are acting drama. Abi? Did you enjoy the drama, first of all? Yes, some put the answer. Some put the enjoy it. If we enjoy it or not, we'll still act. We'll keep behaving young. We'll dance. We have dance concerts coming up on the 20th. Yeah, so we're not the old. This is a no old church. We're not the gray, we're not the old. Praise God. So you will see us even at 80. Dance concert at 80. The whole walking sick. Praise God. Yeah. So, as we're all still young people, you can still make something out of your life. There are three categories you need to find to fulfill this. Romans chapter 11, verse 29. Can we read it together? One, two, read. One more time, read. For the last time, this time read it with confidence. For every kingdom staff, for all these four guys, four people that came yesterday to speak to the business people, one thing that runs across all of them, that is common amongst them, is what we're going to talk about today. Every human being either has a calling or has a gift or has an opportunity. Those are the three things. I'm going to explain them as we go today. Every human being either has a calling or has a gift or has an opportunity. And your greatness in life lies in you discovering any of these three things that falls to you, that pertains to you. Let me tell you, your calling or your gift is like, let me explain this way. If you send your child to school, let's assume you have a child. If you don't have a child, if you have a child, it's easy for you to already imagine this. You have a child. If you send your child to university or to boarding school or even to day school, secondary school, or primary school. How many of you send your children to school without any money? It's not done, Abby. If you're going to send a child to university, you give them what is called pocket money or school fees at least. Then why would you think God sent you on this earth without anything? God didn't send anybody broke. People become broke. Hallelujah. God sends everyone with everything they need. God is very wise. When God sends you or brings you on this earth, you already have a house. Oh, you don't know what I'm talking about. Are you here? You already have a house. You already have a car. You already have a wife or a husband. The issue is that God cannot give you all these things physically when you are coming. If he gives you a house and a car and children and wife when you are coming, there's going to be a lot of confusion. So he packages it in form of your calling or your gift. That calling or gift is something he gives you to trade in this life. Once you come and you identify it and you use it, that particular thing begins to supply all your other needs. So you must find your calling, you must find your gift, you must find your opportunity. Those three things. So let's start with calling. What is a calling? A calling is simply a divine assignment. A divine assignment given to you by God. Everybody has one. Or at least most people have one. You might not have a calling, then you might have a gift. That has already pointed you to giving you direction. So let's assume you don't have, you have a calling. A calling is a divine assignment. It's a mandate God has given you. It's a mandate God has given you. Now, it doesn't, for someone like me, I'm a pastor, God spoke to me and said, you will pastor. Since that time, I've not done any other job in this world. Because that is my life's path. You know why? You can do anything to get money, but it's not everything you can do to get fulfillment. Hope you understand this. You can practically do anything to get money. You can even be an arm robber or a 419 guy to get money. But you can't do everything to get fulfilled. Fulfillment only comes through certain things in your own life. It can't come from everything. Praise the Lord. You can't do anything to get money. I can use this microphone to mix Gary when I want to drink Gary. It will mix. But this microphone will not be fulfilled. You know why? Because that's not what it was created to do. So you can get money through any means. You can't get fulfillment through just any means. And that's why we have so many young people that are not fulfilled. What is your calling? A calling is a divine assignment given to you. It can be something like my own, to pastor. It can be to speak. It can be to defend the defenseless. That was what people like Gani Faremi and the rest found. They found out that their job was not just to be a lawyer. Their job was to fight for injustice. And that in itself made them great. I was harassing one of the guys that came to speak to the businessmen. You know, Jason, the guy called Jason Joko, the guy that founded Iroko TV. They put home video, Nollywood movies on, online, so people around the world can access it. Even you can access it, without buying the hard copy. You know, so that in itself has reduced the power of piracy, and it has made the movie available. Because everywhere in the world now, you don't have to leave your house to buy anything. So in Nigeria, that you see wake up and enter bus and spend 3 hours in traffic to go and buy something that is 30 naira. Abroad now, you can just sit in your house, just type in your details, and the thing is going to come right to your house. So people like that are helping by this kind of idea. So Iroko TV put things online. So he's a phenomenal guy. He's known around the world. And I was telling him yesterday, I said, you have prospered by this Nollywood. I said, number one, your financial breakthrough came by Nollywood. Then you're also married to a Nollywood actress. So they gave you money, they gave you wife. I said, you should pay us. but the issue is this. That's how purpose is. Once you find purpose, every other thing in your life is tied to it. I wish some ladies can just find their purpose and start pursuing it. Your husband will find you there. But many women are not doing it. Just pose like in a show glass. Just pose like Ben Hill, wait for husband. Go and pursue your dreams. Sometimes everything in your life is tied to your purpose. Once you find purpose, everything will come. Everything is tied to it. So find your calling. What is the calling that you have? It can be to pastor. It can be to defend the defenseless. It can be to teach the world the right way to dress. That is a divine assignment. The good thing about a calling is that every calling is a high calling. There is no inferior calling with God. Your calling can even be to assist somebody. Your calling can be to assist a man. Your calling can be to be an advisor. Your calling can be to be a counselor. Your calling can be to run a school. God can say, I want you to start a strong educational institution that will teach so-and-so values. That can be your assignment. But you check your life if there's a divine assignment. Some of you, the way you find your assignment is not even that God will speak to you, John. It might just be, what are you passionate about? Something that you are just passionate about. You can't just help it. You just have an uncontrollable passion for it. Some people hear me teach on marriage today, both live and on TV, and they actually enjoy it. And some people actually think God appeared to me and said, Kingsley, thou shalt go into all the world and teach on marriage and relationship. No, I just had a passion for relationships. I just wanted to make sure everybody was doing it right by godly standards. I just had that passion. And that's how it all started. Sometimes something you have a passion for is a pointer to your assignment. An area of life you feel you can develop. You see, what makes countries like America great is that people that have a passion for something are the ones doing the thing. So it has no choice but to grow. But in Nigeria, we have a lot of people that have a passion for money doing things. So they never focus on the thing. You will see last month some assaulting to catch somebody driving one way or somebody using his phone instead of them to ease the traffic. You see, his passion is not traffic. His passion is bribe. So he will submersault. He will enter the front of a moving vehicle. He will roll like James Bond to the other side of the road. Just to catch somebody using phone to collect bribe. Meanwhile, there's traffic right here. There are buses blocking the road. You move there. You're not interested in that. Passion is wrong. Hallelujah. So, what is your life's calling? You check your life. There might be a calling. There might be a divine assignment. That is what a calling is. It's a divine assignment given to you. The second category is a gift. Remember the scripture we read said the gifts and the calling. The second category is a gift. A gift is a divine enablement. A calling is a divine assignment. A gift is a divine enablement. A gift is something you just know how to do well. Remember, there's no broke person. God gave you one of these things I'm going to mention. There are three of them. God gave you one. Everybody has one. So until you find it, you will struggle to make money. When you find it, you will make money cheaply. You will make money and be happy about it. Praise God. And I'm telling you, that is the life. You have not started living until when you make money, you smile. You know, some point they pay their salary, they are so angry. Because next month, that work, they made it through so much stress. The life is when you do something you love and you get paid for it. That is the life. Praise God. So, gift. Everybody has something. Check, do you have a gift? Do you have something you can do well? Do you have something you just know how to do? Don't despise that thing. That thing you know how to do very well, somebody else doesn't know how to do it. That thing you can do cheaply, somebody else will gladly pay you to do it. The problem is that most times when we see our gift, we think, this thing, because you can do it, I can do it cheaply. Almost anybody can do it. No. It's a gift. One of the ladies that spoke yesterday is Funke Bokno Obrute. She's event manager. Now, she said that before she started the business, she used to be very restless, naturally. If she's in a place, she's not be restless. She's walking up and down, checking if everything is working well. Restless. Until God gave her the wisdom to package that restlessness. That's the beautiful thing. God doesn't make any junk. Anything that is your natural instinct, don't polish it, check it, there might be something in it. Do you understand? God doesn't make junk. Everybody has something. If you used to see how, even when she's talking to you, standing on talk, just with you, she can't stay in one place. She talks like this. So, restless. She said it herself, so I'm not gossiping about her. She said it herself yesterday. She was restless like that until God gave her the idea that be organizing people's events like this. And today she rolls in the millions doing event management. There's something you have. David Wedd shared the same thing. He used to know how to dress. He was winning awards in university for best dress this, best dress that. You understand? Some of you have these gifts. Next week, I'm going to talk about what you should do with the calling and what you can do with the gift. I'll talk about next week. But I'm just trying to show you what they are. You know, some of you have this gift of dressing, but it's used to oppress people. You just buff up. You are broke, oh, you are broke. You can't bend like this. They didn't give you that gift to oppress people. They gave you that gift to clothe those people. When you clothe them, they will pay you. Do you understand? There are many people like that. They can dress, but in their mind, they thought that gift of... Do you think picking clothes is easy? To you, it's easy, but for somebody else... I don't know if there are people here. That when you open your wardrobe, you just get tired. What will I wear on Monday? Hey! You're already afraid. But there's somebody else that... Clothes are just, he just said, match this shirt with this shoe, match this, just mix it in. He said, in fact, he even has too many ideas what to wear. He said, in fact, he has what he can wear for 1 week because he's creative. Somebody else cannot do that. That's a gift. A gift is something you can do that other people cannot do. Anything you can do well, there's somebody that will gladly pay you to do it. Do you understand? That is a gift. So it might be to sing, it might be to speak, it might be to be funny. Oh, thank God for people like Ali Baba and Co. I just love people like that. For me, that is the Nigerian dream. Because when people like Ali Baba started, comedy was not a job. Today, it's an industry. It's a full industry. Most of them are big rollers. They drive big cars. Cracking joke. When I heard how much they pay, you know, there's some money you hear they pay some people, you pity yourself. You wonder if you're in the right job. You want to cry. Some of those guys, if they appear in a wedding, they pay them as much as 800K to come and crack joke in a wedding. Me, I crack joke here every Sunday. I have to go and start doing wedding. Please, your next wedding, invite me to be the MC. I'll just get everybody there born again. Do you understand? In one appearance, 800K, sometimes 1 million, people like Alibaba is 1 million naira. Standard to crack jokes. There will be nothing funny about the joke that costs 1 million naira. If I pay you 1 million to crack joke, I will not laugh. Because I'm wondering, as in you don't work with this. But that's the thing about a gift. When you do it, some other person will not even know that you have worked. Lionel Messi works. His work is called play. Say, will they go play ball? That's his work. And some of those guys end up to £400,000 a week. Don't calculate in naira, it will annoy you. Leave it in pounds, oh. £400,000. How much is that in naira? Does he have naira equivalent? Is there enough naira for that money? Somebody help me. How much, roughly? Eh? Sorry? 107 million naira. Are we sure? No, that's too much. Even me, I go assassinate the guy. Eh? 60 million. Mathematics, now you now help us. Eh? Calculator have no agree. Calculator no agree. Eh? 106 million. 107 million naira. A week. Where my boots? I get boots. Where's FHA Field? I'm going to train on Monday. No, am I old? I go try it through. No, seriously, that's wrong. 107 million naira. Eh? Is it true or are you joking? No, it's wrong. Let's close the service. Let's go and arrest them. No, but it's wrong now. A week or not for his whole life. Playing football. But I know in your mind, you're saying, that's such a great gift. But there's another person may I trip for. I trip for the person paying him. That one is called a promoter. Or somebody that has a gift for business. That's the person I trip for. Those guys, it's something like Don King. How many of you know Don King? Don King promotes boxing. He will not fight. He will just arrange the fight. I mean that's the life. Because the person fighting, if he fight finish, no fee can't chop the money because they don't blow in teeth out. But Don King, promoter, he just arranged the fight. Say, you know, and there are people in school that, in primary school that are promoter of fight. You know them? 12 now they quarrel. Now no plan to fight. Oh. You can't carry sand. Erere, Ijare. Concern him. But he's a promoter. That's what Don King is doing for a business. Praise God. That's what Don King is doing. That the guy is doing for free. So I prefer Don King really than the Tyson that is fighting. Because long after Tyson will retire, Don King will still be promoting fights. Long after Ronaldo has retired, the people that own Real Madrid or whatever, they will still be doing business. So as much as that 170 million looks big, the guy's paying that salary is the guy I'm interested in. That one, his own gift is the gift of business. Do you understand? You have a gift. Nobody's gift. When you find your own place, nobody's own can intimidate your own. They can't challenge you because your own is unique. Do you understand? Your own is unique. There are some Amala joints that sell more than fast food where they do banner, do billboard, put police, put navy, put plenty things. Amala joint somewhere, no chair. Yeah, even the bench, they shake. Now, rubber plate. In fact, you go line up, you go even fight to buy. My mama tell for me, you go fight to buy. Crowd dead there. Than Belgium, I've never done adverts. But yet, everybody knows Belgium Amala. Once you find your place, nobody can threaten you. You are never intimidated by anybody's gift. Find your own. Is very unique. As powerful as Lionel Messi is, he can't say because of him they should sack the goalkeeper. He can't do the work of the goalkeeper. He can't do the work of the defender. He has his own job, but the goalkeeper too has his own place. Are you getting this? Find your gift. It can be anything. Your gift can point you in the direction that your life should go. Your gift. It might be cooking. It might be something as small as cooking. Some people just know how to cook. Even when there's no pepper, there's no tomato, they will just mix something up. And it will become sweet. Meanwhile, some people, if you buy them every ingredient in this life, in fact, if you even lock them in a supermarket, they go see cook rubbish come out. Some people can clean. One of my daughters in the church here that has a cleaning business. In fact, it was me that forced her, I said, you must have a cleaning business. After she cleaned my house, I said, no. You must have a cleaning business. She did an incredible job. She didn't just clean, she repaired things that need repairs. She cleaned. The house was, I said, no. You have to start this thing as a business. Today she has a business. She employs people. Cleaning. Cleaning looks simple, but it's not everybody that has the ability to clean something. There's a gift in everything. Some people know how to wash clothes. Some people don't know how to wash clothes. It's a gift. Find what you can do. It can be speaking, it can be dancing, it can be storytelling, it can be listening. Storytelling is what they call script writing. It can be ability to research. Some of you have an ability to research things. You can get information. I have a friend like that. Once I'm interested in something, I just tell him about it. And he will bring out, he has a way of researching. It's a gift. The issue is this. God has packaged you as a success. There is no failure in this life. Nobody is inferior to another human being. If you can find what they've given you to trade. Hallelujah. So you either have a calling. Your calling can even be to assist somebody. That can be a calling. Your calling can be to serve a particular person. That can be a calling. Then your gift. The third one is now opportunity. In case you say, Pastor, I've not found my calling. I've not found any divine assignment. I've not found any mandate I'm going to channel my life to. Then look for a gift. You can say, Pastor, I don't have any gift. I doubt that though, because I know you must have some if you look well. But you might say, Pastor, I don't have any gift. I don't know how to dress. I don't know how to sing. I don't have any gift. You know, sometimes, you know, how many of you know the gift of, how many of you know consistency is a gift? Some people can just sit down, do one thing the same way a million times. Somebody like me, if I do one thing over, I will never do it the same way the next time. But some people are just committed. They are consistent. Anything is a gift, really. Anything you can do well. So find the gift. If you say, Pastor, I don't have a calling. I can't find my gift. The last one, you must have it. It's called opportunity. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. It's called opportunity. Look at it here. Ecclesiastes 9, 10. It says, whatsoever thy hand does what? Findeth to do. Do what? Do it with thy might. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. What this means is that you might not have a calling. You might not recognize your gift. Look for somebody that has found their calling. Look for somebody that has found their gift and serve them. Work for them. He said, whatever your hand finds to do, do it. And do it with all your might. I'm going to show you in a few minutes the benefits of that. Because that is what will birth your own next level. If you think you are confused now, if you think you don't have direction now, look for somebody that has direction and work for them. Work with them. It will birth your own direction. That's the principle of life. Everybody has an opportunity to serve. Look for somewhere to serve. Now, if you are presently working somewhere, that's what you're already doing. You are working for a company that already has a vision. Hope you know that. If you're a staff somewhere, you belong to this category. But you see, the reason why many people don't grow beyond this level is because they don't do it right. Look at the principle here. Whatever your hand findeth to do, do it how? I can't hear you. Are you there? Do it how? With thy might. Don't do it lackadaisically. Don't do it with a slack hand. Don't do it in a lukewarm manner. They said, do it with your might. What they are saying is that when you get to the office on Monday, be the best guy on that job. Because they say there's no work, there's no knowledge, there's nothing happening where else you are going. That means you can't postpone life. This is the life. Right here, right now, where you are, is the opportunity you have to make a difference. Don't postpone it. Don't say, when I start my own. They say, no. Do it now. Do this one like your own. Get to the office on Monday and be the best guy in that office. If you don't come to work, they should feel it. If you travel, they should be calling you wherever you are. Because you've stepped up the game so much that they will feel your absence. He said, do it with your might. If you can't find your calling, you can't find your gift, where you are now, give it your best. Be the best on the job. There's nothing as annoying. Have you ever been to a shop? I am talking to an attendant, and she doesn't even know the product they are selling. She's walking there. You know, ask her, out of these three relaxer, or out of these three cream, or out of these three phones, which one do you think I should buy? She said, Mitch, I don't know. Anyone, they're all the same. Really? But have you also been to a place, you want to buy something, and the person is giving you so much information, and telling you that these three depends on what you want to do, but I suggest you want to buy this one, or how much you want to spend. This one is just more expensive. They do the same thing. It just has more price, because it came from England. This other one came from Taiwan. But they are the same thing. They do the same thing. I've tried them. The person has even used it. You know, I like when I go to a place, or you go to somebody selling books, the person has read the books, or at least has peeped into the books, and tell you, oh, this one addresses this one, or this one is what you need. Or even the place where they're selling movies, the person has watched the movies. If you are working where they're selling movies, then watching movies is part of your job. You need to be able to give the person that wants to buy the information. Say, this one is not sweet, this one is sweet, this one is good, this one is not sweet. It depends on what you like. Do you like long story? Do you like action? I like when I go to a place, I like to talk to somebody that has information. I don't want to waste my money. I want the person that will give me good advice. Do you understand? But I hate when I enter a shop and the person, I've entered a shop I'm looking for, maybe it's a game shop or a movie shop. I say, do you have this movie? And the person say, hey, I don't know where it is. How can you not know where it is? How can you not know if you have it? But the same day, in the same shop, I talked to another guy. He said, yes, we have it. And the shop was big. I didn't know where to find the movie. The guy said, come, I'll show you. The guy carried me. He knew exactly where the movie was. I was so impressed with the guy. And guess what? When I was looking for something else in that shop, guess who I would look for? The guy. I won't look for that dumb girl. Permit me for having the girl. But you see, I hate when people, you are walking. If you walk somewhere, if you walk in a car shop, you need to know everything about cars. You need to know the difference between Benz and Toyota. If you walk in a car shop, you actually have to now study. You have to be, say, do it with your might. Do you understand? You see, don't postpone your greatness. Be great now. If you're a carpenter, be a great carpenter. If you're a barber, be a great barber. Don't say, No. This is what kills people here, because they're trying to postpone hard work. Be the best. Hard work is a habit. If you're not working hard now, even when you own your own, you won't work hard. It's a habit. You can't change overnight. If you're not giving your best now in another man's own, you won't give your best in your own. If you don't wake up early to get the work on time now, you won't even go to work when you own your own. Habits die hard. If you have a lackadaisical attitude where you work now because you're not the owner of the company, you will have a lackadaisical. You might not even have your own in the first place. How much more to have a lackadaisical attitude? Give it your best. Be the best. Be the best. Be the best. As in, be noticeable. Be indispensable. Let them know that somebody has worked there. You can't leave the job the same way you met it. Upgrade it. There must be a way to improve that job. There must be something you can add. And the proof that you have passed through that place is that you improved the thing. You can't. I like when I have a staff that is bringing ideas. I don't like staff that point problems to me. I see problems already. What I'm looking for is solution. Some of you work in places, all you point out is what's not working in the office. Really? Bring solutions. They didn't promote Joseph because he saw the problem. They promoted Joseph because he saw the solution. Joseph came and interpreted the dream, problem. He now said, but the solution is this, save 20%, we'll store it, we'll sell it. You know, he gave solution. And he was about to walk away. The king said, you are joking. You are going nowhere. He said, no man is as wise as you. If you gave this kind of solution, come and run the business. And he was promoted to prime minister. Maybe your promotion is waiting until you start bringing solutions. Your opportunity is there. Do you know you can be a staff of a company and be a mega millionaire? You can be a staff of a company and they will make you a partner of that company. There are some staff of some companies that if they tell their boss, I'm not coming this week, their boss will say, yes, sir. Take the week off. What else do you want? Do you want me to give you a PA? Because the guy is performing. All this one that I cannot make midweek service. You are not a performer. Be a performer. Be a performer. Be a useful person. If you tell your boss that I need to go for midweek service, say, you see, that's where I get my inspiration. I need to pray. I trust God for grace. The guy said, what? I'm following you, Seth. And all staff, follow this man. That's what happened to Daniel. Daniel performed so much that the king said, from now, we are all worshiping Daniel's God. Perform. Be useful in that office. They will allow you to do anything. I told you that I had a church member that was working in a bank. He was going twice a week. Twice a week. A bank. And they employed a new boss. He was saying, what? How can you know? You don't come to work? And even the twice a week, it's not as if he comes early in the morning. He just comes in the afternoon, does one or two things and goes. The boss, the new boss, are like, you can't be doing this here. You mean you work here and you're coming? We're just shouting. The guy said, call your superiors. And the guy picked phone. Call this guy. There's one guy here. This guy said, leave him. Leave him. That's the agreement we had with him. Because what he was doing for the company, no other person could do. And he had told them he doesn't even want to work. They begged him to just be coming. Come anytime you want. When you're a performer, they will do your own terms to work. Anything you tell them to work. Even if they give you target, that's why you need the grace of God and the anointing of God. I'll talk about these things for half time during the end of the month. If you have this anointing and grace working in your life, there's a way you will perform. If you tell them you want to go for London to for marketing, they will say, go. So I'm in market, I say, but this month, because last month you exceeded all the history of the whole bank marketing. I said, this month I think I have some prospects in London that I want to go and see to. 1 month to marketing. You think it's only a mad boss that will say you should not go when he's seen how you perform. You say, go. In fact, we'll fly you business class. Go. Stay. Just be performing. That will be your portion. But start performing. I've seen Christian tailors praying for breakthrough. You need to grow beyond all those stages where you are begging God for alms, where you are begging God for breakthrough. If you use what God has given you, you need to be begging Him for things. I've seen Christian praying for breakthrough as a tailor, but you sew dress, one hand is longer than the other. And you are praying for breakthrough. Who do you want God to punish? On your behalf. What did you pray is for wisdom. You have no business praying for breakthrough. You don't need a breakthrough. Because if the God even gives you a breakthrough, you will get a bad reputation. Because everybody will know you're close. If I went to see somebody close with no balance, say, nah, John, so that close. They will know you as the worst tailor in the world. I've seen carpenter praying for breakthrough. You make stool, one leg is longer than the others. It doesn't balance. Or photographer, they give you job. You tell them you'll bring it in 1 month. It's now 1 year. The couple have not seen their wedding picture. It's only BB they have their picture on. The BB one. You, where you promise wedding, but you don't, and you are praying. You will come, you have the audacity to come to church and lift up your hands and say, oh God, give me more job. I will testify. You better go and deliver the job they gave you. You can't deliver the one they gave you. You want more. The Bible says if you are faithful in little, you will be given much. You don't even have to pray for increase. Just be faithful. Increase will come naturally. The way God rewards faithfulness is increase. And the way God rewards unfaithfulness is decrease. Because he will remove people from your hand. You will be a prayer request. God, deliver me from this tailor. So you are praying for people. People are praying to be delivered from you. You took people's job that you make cloth for them. Now you are dodging them. You don't pick their call. You don't pick their call. They now have to call you on that phone. As in, seriously? And you are praying? You have no need of prayer. Or you can pray to change your character. Because you can't run a mega business like that. Hallelujah. Be the best. Be the best in that at that thing that you do. Be the best at serving another man's business. Let me show you quick scriptures before we close today. Because today I'm dealing with more with the opportunities. Tomorrow, next Sunday, I'm going to deal with what you can do with your calling and what you can do with your gift. Because having a gift is not enough. There's something you should do with it. Having a calling is not enough. There's something you should do with it. Because many people have it already. They don't know what to do with it. That's why they are still where they are. Luke chapter 16. Read these two scriptures or two or three scriptures. Then we'll just pray today. Luke 16 from verse 10. Look at what it says. Please look up. It says, He that is faithful in that which is what? Least. If you are faithful in that which is small, they said, also, is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the little and all that will be unjust in more. What they're saying is this: if you are faithful with little, God will promote you to more. He will give you more. See the next verse 12. Verse 12. It says, if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's vision, who shall give you what? That which is your own. Be faithful where you walk. Don't say it's not my company. I mean, don't even walk somewhere and be speaking negative about the organization. It's a curse. Look, God honors covenant relationships. God honors covenant relationships. Anytime you behave well in a covenant relationship, God honors you. Every covenant relationship carries a blessing. You know why many people will never go far? Because they are not faithful in the covenant relationships in their lives. They are not faithful with it. You can't go far except you are faithful with the relationships. God is a God of covenant. That's why, if you notice, even in marriage, he said, I've seen how you have treated the wife of your youth. He said, I'm witness to it. He said, God has stopped their prayers. In Peter, he said, your prayers will be hindered. He doesn't play with covenant relationships. If you're not going to treat covenant relationships right, God will say, stay out of it. But if you're going to be in that covenant, you have to do it right. Or else God will fight you because he's a covenant God. So marriage is one covenant relationship. Relationship with your country, with where you live, is a covenant relationship. Relationship with where you walk. Where you walk, because you eat from there. You eat from that place. You can't be spitting in a river you are drinking water from. You are cursing yourself. On that covenant relationship with your parents, with your physical parents, and your spiritual parents. With your physical parents, he said, honor your parents. He didn't say obey your parents. You can't obey your parents in all things. He said, honor them. There are some things your parents ask you to do that you shouldn't do. Alright? But he said, honor them. The honor one is not negotiable. He said, honor your parents and it shall be what? That's a covenant blessing. He said, if you honor this covenant relationship, say it will be well with you. That's prosperity. And you will do what? Some of you don't know the scripture. Are you kidding me? You do what? So none of the scripture says. I can't shout. Oh yeah, read it, please. Ephesians 6, 2 and 3. Honor what? Thy father and mother. Don't let any fake prophet tell you your father is a wizard or your mother is a witch. Nonsense. Honor thy father and mother, which is what the first commandment with a promise. He said, that it may be what? Well with you. And that thou mayest what? Live long on the earth. What is God saying? Because if you honor the covenant relationship, I will honor you. So don't play with your parents. Now, like I said, you might not be able to obey them in everything. God didn't say your parents should choose who you should marry because there are some boys that refuse to grow up. You say a 40-year-old man, you think, my mother says, I don't mind this game. Why not go and suck breasts? Disgraceful thing. A 40-year-old man with hair on his chest. My mother's thing, you know. When your mates have grandchildren. So I'm tired of that nonsense in Nigeria. So that's not what I mean. That's not what I mean. But you must honor them. That means even if you're going to tell them no, you tell them respectfully. You must honor them. You must show them love. You must be available to fellowship with them. You must visit with them. You must send them money. They don't have to be broke for you to do things for them. Even if they are richer than you, find something you can do to bless them. If my mom tells me she needs money, I always give her more than whatever she needs. I don't play with her. I don't allow her to travel by road. For what? She must fly. Although nowadays. But we try. We try to fly. Now you have to pray and join. I'm just joking. You understand what I'm saying? You must honor those covenant relationships. There are people here, the kind of money you spend in town, your mother is suffering in the village. And you're a big boy, you're a Lagos big boy. I pity you, don't know nothing. You would have gone further if you could honor covenant relationships. Don't play with it. Don't play with it. Now, I'm not saying you can't obey them. If your mother says don't go to church, go to church. Because God comes above your parents. But you must honor. You must honor them. It's non-negotiable. Honor your spiritual parents too. Very important. I've seen too many spiritual bastards. No spiritual parents. The same way you have physical parents, you ought to have spiritual parents. There are people that ought to be the spiritual guide in your life. There are few people that can talk to you and give you God's mind. Do you understand? There are some issues I need to face. I don't need my parents to tell me because they are not spiritually versed. They will teach me tradition. They will tell me from a traditional point of view. I don't need even a friend to tell me. He will tell me from an emotional point of view. I need a man of God to give me God's mind on that issue. Without any bias, he will just tell me what God is saying because that's what they stand for. They represent God in your life. Don't play with your spiritual parents. 2 a.m. yesterday, I was still chatting with Reverend Sam at 2 a.m. We're still talking. I asked him some things. And he blessed me, said, you will have a great service. I said, amen. Spiritual parents, that's what they do. So I see people that are in a church and they still criticize the pastor. You don't understand. You can't do that. You can't spit in the same river you want to drink from. Very important. I was going to talk about our national pledge. Do you know our pledge is just a covenant? Our pledge is a covenant. It's just a covenant. What does the pledge say? Let's say the pledge together. What's the first line? I pledge Nigeria. That's covenant. I make a covenant to Nigeria, my country. What's the next word? To be faithful, what? Loyal and honest. This pledge is to Nigeria. What's the next line? To serve. For my strength. What is the next line? To defend her unity. You know why I'm addressing God? I see how people behave in church. It informs me how they behave at work. Many people belong to a place where they don't defend. Look, anywhere you belong to, one of your jobs is to defend the unity of that place. Now, you can address issues that need to be addressed, but it's always from an insider point of view, not an outsider point of view. Don't say, this their office. No! If you walk in that place, you say, it's our office. You will say, we need to improve the welfare in our office. You're a part of it. Don't say, this their. No! That's not loyal. Say, we must defend our unity. Some people belong to a church and they're the ones still speaking negative about the church and they attend the church. You must defend this unity. It's only when Nigeria is watching football that we understand this. When Nigeria is playing match, we all defend the unity. After match, we start fighting again. You idiot. You are from Nigeria, that I'm from this one. We're not together. No. But when you are playing match, everybody's one Nigeria. That attitude we have during football match, that's the attitude we ought to have throughout. Oneness. Say to defend our unity and to do what? To uphold. Hallelujah. So be faithful at work. When you're faithful at work, when you honor, look at what the Bible says. Look, covenant relationships are not based on the person being perfect. When God said, honor your boss, he's not saying, honor your boss because you're perfect. He said, honor your boss, both the wicked one, if you have a wicked boss, or the good one. Many people think obeying God has to do with the person being perfect. Women need to learn this. Listen, women, if you're a woman, listen very carefully. The Bible says when you're going to marry a man, be ready to submit to that man. But let me shock you now. That man is not always going to make wise decisions. Sometimes he will make stupid decisions. But the Bible said still submit to him. So you see, that's just, like I said, that's why I still don't understand why women wave an engagement ring. I don't get it. I still, till now, I still think about it. It doesn't make sense. Why women celebrate so much? And they say, then they put it on DP. Then all the ladies will say, congratulations. Congratulations. Are you sure? Because these are the same people that enter marriage and start complaining the man is not doing that. He is not a perfect man. What you just signed in for is a covenant. Say something you enter with sobriety. You should be sober because you are selling your life away. You are now going to be one with one person. Do you understand? You will inherit all the liabilities and all the assets. It's not something to be joyful about or to be overexcited about. You need to be conscious. You need to be thoughtful. You need to be thoughtful about it. Praise the Lord. Because people think it means my husband will be perfect. No, even my boss. See what they said about your boss. Okay. Go back to that NLT version. Okay, hold on. Let's read this one first. Then we'll read the NLT. It says, servants, be subject. Servants here means who you are working for, okay? And masters. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Fear there means respect. He said, not only what? To the good one and gentle one. He said, but to the froward. Show the NLT version. NLT version. DJ, quick. He said, you who are slaves must accept the authority of your masters with all respect. He said, do what they tell you, not only if they are kind and reasonable, but if they are what? It's a covenant. If you don't want to work, go home. If you're going to work, you must understand that your boss is not going to be perfect. But you see, when you are doing what God has asked you to do, you are not depending on your boss to promote you or to notice you. You are doing it because of God, because God is the promoter. God can still promote you from that place. If they are treating you, forget about office politics, somebody doesn't like you, just do what God has asked you to do. God will bless you in spite of it. They did it to Joseph. People hated him. God promoted him. They did it to Daniel. For Daniel's own, they even planned to assassinate him. God still promoted him. They threw him in lions, then the lion cooperated with him. The lion said, no worry, we're not going to chop you. We're not going to chop you. We know the boys who planned this thing. We'll be your guy. Then go soon bring them, come here. And we'll finish them, I swear. They tell them. So you have no business joining office politics or all those things. Just be faithful. God will bless you right there. He said he will bless in the midst of your enemies. He said he prepares a table before you. What? In the presence of your enemies. Stop chasing enemy. What are you chasing enemy for? Right there and then. In fact, you need spectators for the blessing now. So why you want to drive them? Hallelujah. Look at last verse. We'll just pray. Ephesians 6:6. Ah, DJ don't off. Ephesians 6:6. If you can turn your Bible quickly, do so. If you can't, I'll just read it to you. Where Ephesians there? Towards the end, Abby. After Revelation. Okay, it's after Galatians. Ephesians 6, verse 6. Ephesians 6:6. Look at what it says. It says, okay, it starts from verse 5, actually. It says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto what? Christ. Verse 6. Not what? With eye service. So you're not doing this thing for men to notice you. You know, I see many people that get a job and they begin to do eye service. All these things will destroy your integrity and authenticity. It's better to be yourself. I see people that work in office, then they see their guy, they just say they're working. Hey, Kari, let's work. Hey, when your guy goes in, on the apple. They bring out their BB. I had one of my sons that was fired because he was using BB, was selling his own things during office. Say, no. When you get to a place, be faithful there. Very important. That's why they hired you. Don't play. Don't carry things. Don't be playing solitaire with office time. Work first. Some poor eye service, see your guy, they just stop doing shaka. No, you see, when you do those things, you are cursing yourself. That's not the covenant of our God. He said, not, verse 6, not with eye service as men please us. He said, but as servants of Christ, doing what? The will of God from the heart. As long as you do that, nothing can stop your promotion. Nothing can stop your blessing. Are you getting this? Because promotion cometh neither from the east nor the west. It comes from where? From God. Have you been blessed at all today? Hallelujah. I just want you to bow your heads for 1 minute. Before I bless everyone in the house, I want to pray for the person here that is not born again. If you are here and you have not given your life to Christ, all these things you are saying cannot affect you until you have Jesus inside of you. I want to ask you today, if you want to give your life to Jesus.
We know you've been blessed by this message. To order a copy of this message or any of our messages, you can call us on 080-777-14411 or 080-777-14412. Or you can visit our website on www.davidschristiancenter.org. David's Christian Center, home of victorious people.